Okay, turning to Romans chapter 7. Welcome to everyone. This is our midweek meditation for those of you Facebook Live listeners. We've got a congregation of people here in the Cresco Church. We're celebrating our Thanksgiving evening service, and we're turning to Romans chapter 7. So if you'd want to turn there, we'll do our meditation at the same time. And then I'm going to open it up for some of you if you want to give a testimony after this, if something that we talk about brings something to your mind or heart. We'll see what the Lord has planned for us. So you've got your finger, put your finger here in chapter 7 of Romans, and then go to chapter 15, to the passage that we studied on Sunday, and I want to just show you quickly the transition of how I got to wanting to do what we're going to do tonight. So in chapter 15, we talked about the strong, more mature Christians bearing the weaknesses of the less mature Christians in order for us to get along with people that we have differing convictions from. People in church, we are supposed to be free to come up with our own convictions on peripheral issues. We're supposed to think the same thing when it comes to the commands of Christ and the central things that join us all together. Now, as we disagree about things, sometimes that can lead to arguments, that can lead to church splits and all kinds of problems in the church. And so we want to avoid that. In order to avoid that, Paul gives us instruction in chapter 15 about how the stronger Christian is supposed to bear up the weaknesses of the weaker Christian. And then he talks about pleasing them for their good, to build them up. Theoretically, really easy to, you know, we can all accept it. When we're sitting in church smiling, we can all accept that that's what we're supposed to do, and that's the mark of the Christian community, right? God functions within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, the community of the Godhead. He functions in complete peace and harmony and joy all the time. And that's what we're supposed to do as we experience that community with the Godhead, the Holy Spirit living in us, the Holy Spirit of God uniting us all together as one. Theoretically, we should be able to get along. And we should be able to live to please, as Christ did, live to please the other person, bear their weaknesses, you know, persevere underneath it. And then you come to verse 3. Christ is our example. Boy, this thing just fell apart. Oh my, this is not working too good. Sorry. I'm going to do it like this. That's really going to look terrible. But sorry about that, Facebook Live people. In verse 4 or verse 3, we're told that Christ didn't even please himself. And we've studied that a lot in the last couple of months, how Christ only did what the Father wanted him to do. Christ only spoke the words that the Father gave him. He always did what was pleasing to the Father. And now look at verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. What's he talking about there, the Old Testament or the New Testament? Old Testament. Things that were written earlier are written for our instruction, that through perseverance, remaining under, that's the weightlifter holding up, you know, when we're disagreeing with people, that immediately can create tension. My desire clashes with your desire. I believe this is what the Bible is teaching, or it could just be a fleshly desire. It's just something that I want. And that means that you've got to persevere under the pressure that our conversation might undergo because I disagree with you. So that immediately, that creates tension. And so he says, and I've got to do that to you, and you've got to do that to me. So by ideally persevering under that kind of pressure, and verse 4, the encouragement of the scriptures. So that's the word parakaleo, the one called alongside. God, by his Holy Spirit, is called alongside us to put his arm around us and to give us the encouragement. And it says here, is what we've been studying lately, he does that through the scriptures. And Paul's talking about the old, so hang with me here, the Old Testament scriptures, so that we might have hope. Okay. So, I just preached it Sunday, and did any of you experience any assignments in trying to apply this since Sunday? Raise your hand if you had an assignment where you had to bear with somebody else's weakness, that you had to kind of persevere underneath that, you had to put this into practice and found that it wasn't real easy. Am I the only one that had an assignment given? Okay, thank you. All right, anybody else? No? Wow, you've had an easy couple of days. Good for you. Here's what I went through. I'm not going to give you specifics. I'm just saying that understanding this is one thing. Doing it is another. And he gives us assignments to help us to learn how to do it. And the question then becomes, what do we do when we do this really poorly? Did any of you experience not doing it well? Okay, yeah. So we blow it, we don't do it, we revert to patterns that are very, very deep that we've talked about many times. Some of them we can't even see. And the other person has those deeply entrenched desires. You have deeply entrenched patterns of responding to conflict and responding to stresses. And many times we blow it and we fall back into those same patterns and do it so poorly. And so this week, as I was trying to do what this says and bear up underneath and not doing very well at it in a certain situation or two, then what came to me was right in the middle of the night, I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I knew God wanted me to be praying about something. So I went out, got out my study Bible and opened to Romans chapter 7. So now let's go to Romans chapter 7. I needed Romans chapter 7. And this ties in with what we just read in chapter 15, that through the perseverance, even if you blow it, you can still endure it. Okay? While you're blowing it, he's teaching you stuff. And so it was through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures that I was looking for. And what the Holy Spirit brought to my mind was Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14. This is a great passage. I'm going to preach this in depth on Sunday. So I'm studying it now. I've read it already several times. I'm going to read it many, many more times between now and Sunday. And I'm going to really unpack it because I think it's just critical for us to understand. But for tonight, I'm just going to make one or two simple observations that I'm really, really thankful for. And I hope that it's encouraging to you as it was to me. I was encouraged by the scriptures, by the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, as he used this scripture. So let's go to verse 14. So we're in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We'll read through the end of the chapter. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. Literally, I don't know what I'm doing, is what it says. What I'm doing, I do not understand, for I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm actually doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me. I want to do what's right, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. So what drew me to this was the struggle to do what I know I'm supposed to do, what I agree with, what I want to do, but I don't do it all the time. Okay? And especially when the pressure is on, when you've, for whatever reason, you know what the last straw is that breaks your camel's back, right? You know if you're tired, if you're sick, you've been sick, you've got little kids, you're up with at night a lot. I'm just with you young parents, your backs are about breaking. I know all the time you're busy running here and there with kids in athletics and just the whole host of things. Every single one of you is super busy, and that causes stress, and it builds up pressure as you try to, and then you end up blowing it. And so as I sat there at 3 in the morning going through this and praying through this and reading it and wanting to understand this, first of all, I came to 25, thanks be to God. And that's why I wanted to speak on this tonight, is because there are so many things we can be thankful for, and we should be. But I just wanted to hone in on this one thing. I am so thankful, as Paul was, that though he struggled in this inner conflict that we all experience between the spirit and the flesh, and I could go to 20 proof texts right now where we're taught that that is what's happening. Galatians, Paul talks about the spirit is in opposition to the flesh and the flesh opposition to the spirit. We can go to James where he says, abstain from the fleshly lusts. Or Peter said, abstain from those fleshly desires that wage war against your soul. James says, what's the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not your pleasures that wage war in your members? So there's all these verses that describe what is happening and teaches us to how to abstain from it, put to death the members of our earthly body. We're instructed on what to do. But I am so thankful, first of all, for what Paul's thankful for. He said, oh, wretched man, do you ever feel like that? Do you feel like that when you're in the midst of it? It's like, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was a decent person, but yet I keep falling into these same patterns. I'm seeing some shaking heads, so now I know I'm not alone. And again, the Bible tells us in so many places what's happening, how to combat it. But thanks be to God for, first of all, I want to thank God for what Paul thanks God for. Paul says, wretched man that I am, verse 24, who will set me free from the body of this death? The answer is what? Who? Jesus. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, even though this war is going on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other hand, with my flesh, I'm serving the law of sin at times, not always, but at times. And then look at chapter 8, verse 1. Back then, when Paul wrote this, and this is now Scripture. So he's written this, so I can go to this for the encouragement of the Scripture, like I did Wednesday night, 3 in the morning. I can go to the Scripture, and there's no chapter. When he wrote the letter, he didn't write, there weren't chapter verse divisions. So it goes right from verse 25 into chapter 8, verse 1. So look at 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When I'm acting out of my flesh, when I'm blowing it again, when I'm acting according to the law of sin in my members rather than according to the law of God, when I'm doing that, I am convicted of my sin. That's why I feel so wretched. But I'm not to be condemned. And we can easily go to, so I want this to be a word of encouragement to you that you don't have to be condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So thanks be to God who's setting me free. Jesus has set me free from the actual guilt of my sin, and he has set me free from the felt guilt of my sin, right? When we're feeling like a wretch, I mean, you can just lose hope. You can be so discouraged. And that's what Satan wants. He wants to discourage us. He wants us to be, to give up, to not push back up and persevere under, remain under whatever those stresses are that are leading us to live out of our flesh and to sin once again. So I'm thankful tonight that I've been set free by Jesus and I can go to him again and ask for his forgiveness. And he is faithful and just, and he will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. They are. But I've got to come to him and just pour it out to him, and I don't have to live under condemnation. So that's the first thing I'm thankful for. The second thing I'm thankful for is Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. It, with all of the other verses I alluded to that helped me understand this, if I didn't have this, I would not have had, just praise God that he, that the Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to pen these. And I'll give you my argument Sunday morning why I believe this is Paul talking out of his present experience when he wrote this letter. Some people think he's like hypothetically talking about, because the Apostle Paul couldn't be this much of a bonehead, right? And so, anyway, so I'm thankful that this is here because I have all those other verses to go to. But if I didn't have this Wednesday night, I would not have experienced the encouragement of the scriptures in the exact way that I needed to be able to put the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together in this one specific particular issue. I would not be able to do that without Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and following. So I am just so thankful that God has given us the word, that by the word he can encourage us. I don't have to live condemned. I can be set free from it again and again and again. And so I would just encourage you, Facebook Live people, I'm going to shut this off now in a moment, and I would just encourage you as Thanksgiving comes to just thank God Jesus has set you free if you've trusted in Christ, and for you to use the scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit guide you to exactly the places that are going to give you the encouragement that you need so that you can be set free. Free from the actual guilt and free from the felt guilt, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. And may he bless you richly as you follow Jesus closely. Bye-bye for now. Okay, that's going to end that, but we're going to keep going here. Again, I'm seeing some heads nod. So I'm assuming I'm not the only one, and I'm assuming that you aren't going to fire me because he struggles with sin too. Paul struggled with sin. That's how he could write that. And I'm so thankful, because Satan could easily say, you've been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and you did that again. You slip back into that same behavior pattern or thought pattern, whatever it is. You were under stress and you blew it or whatever. So I would like to open it up for you. I know Emily was going to share something, but the kids kind of lost it there for a second. But I know she's had an interesting week with little kids. And, but I would like to open it up. You can come up to the pulpit. You can stand where you are. What are you thankful for tonight? And it might, if there's something that ties in with this, that would be good. But if not, you're not restricted to that. What is there anything you want to share with the rest of us as a word of testimony of how God, just by a spirit, inner witness of the Spirit, or God through the scriptures, has set you free, has given you reason to be thankful. Anybody want to share something?